Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
In Jesus' name, amen. So what's your foundation? It's easy to say my foundation is God when there's nothing going on, right? It's easy to say I have faith when there's nothing going on. But see, faith is not faith until it's tested, right? It's easy to say, oh yeah, I'm gonna walk on this water when you're walking in puddles on the water. But it's harder to get out like Peter and say, I'm gonna walk on water. And there ain't just, I don't even know how deep it is, but I'm going to trust God, amen? So it's easy when there's nothing going on, but see, what really gets going on, and what really starts to happen is when things happen, people either fight or flight. You heard that before, right? They said it today, and we had a powerful men's group that we were part of today. Appreciate Tamron for coming. That was pretty cool. Even his brother came, which was pretty dope. But they fight or flight, and one of them said, you have a wimp or a winner inside of you, right? And in the midst of storms in your life, what do you run to? Somebody say, where is your foundation? I think it's important that your foundation is not being laid in the middle of a storm. You guys heard me say it this before. You do not build a roof when it's raining. You prepare for the rain. Now, see, the Bible does tell us that in the last days there will be pestilence. There will be storms. There will be there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will all this stuff will be coming. So what he is telling us is prepare. You see this in the Bible many times. He said you would have prepared if you knew the time the thief was going to come. But he said be prepared because the thief is going to come. Right. So our preparation is important. And what are we preparing? We're preparing our foundation. Right. While I was down in Austin, somebody was preaching about the rock. When Jesus actually was at the church that I was at, they were talking about Jesus and who he was. It was the Son of God and the Son of Man series that they were going through. And one of the things that he said was Peter said, you are the Son of God. And he said, flesh has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And then he changed his name from Simon to Peter and said, this is the rock that I'm going to build my house upon, right? Now, it wasn't Peter, because Peter is not the rock. Who is the rock? Jesus is the rock. But because Peter understood who God was, we build our rock on understanding who God is. Amen. So our foundation has to be on Jesus Christ. The Bible says all else is sinking sand, right? We must make sure our foundation is sure. And today, it's even more evident that we have to live like that. How many of us know people panicking like every word, I'm just going to say this. I think I told you guys, I don't watch the news. Right? I don't watch the news. I remember walking into Costco and I was like, why the heck is all these people in here? What's the masks about? You know, like, what's going on? And then, you know, you start hearing it. But I don't watch the news, because the news is not, guess what? The news is preaching something. And usually it's preaching panic. Usually it's preaching, oh, watch out for your neighbors. They're killers. Watch out for this. It never says, oh, the world's a good place. Right? The president, he's lost his mind. Da, 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 da. All these different things that the news pushes. We have to be careful with what news we accept. Amen? And I'm not going to tell you to be like me and don't watch the news. That's on you, okay? I never, see, one thing about myself, I never try to make you be me. right? I am not God. I'm striving for perfection. So there's some things in my life that I cut out because I don't want those in my life. But I will not tell you to do that. The Holy Spirit has to tell you to do that so it'll stick, right? But our foundation has to be sure. Somebody say sure foundation. If you don't get anything out of this message today, is make sure your foundation with God is strong. Because what if they do ban all churches altogether? They ban the big churches from meeting. You know, what about the small churches? What about if you don't go to church? Is your faith only built on church, or is your faith built on being in God? Is it on your own relationship with God? I'm going to tell you this, man. If they start isolating us, which is kind of what's happening right now, we have to make sure we still are grounded in who God is. Your worship, your praise, your reading, your understanding of the word, your seeking God should not stop because church might be closed. It should get even stronger, right? But the Bible says something like this. If, I can't remember what I was going to say, but it's okay. We must make sure our foundation is sure. Amen? I'm going to talk about three things. Quick three things. Number one, storms will come. How many know that? How many know for real that a storm's going to come? Now, the Bible says, why do you say that, Marquise? Because, first of all, if you read Revelations, it's a lot of storms in there. Right? But Jesus even said, I have overcame the world. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, so you will overcome, which means usually there's going to be something that you have to overcome. Right? Now, when I was in Austin, one of the guys, we all slept in this kind of like dorm room, and he slept with storms and thunderstorms. And I was like, bro, you crazy. I don't like thunderstorms like that. You know, but at least it's on a, you know, we can turn it up or turn it down. Right? But he slept with the storms, and I was like, that's interesting. Like, that's not me. But it just showed me that he's comfortable. Some people are comfortable with thunderstorms and lightning storms. Some people like it. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? That's just me, though, right? But in the country, they be like, oh, man, I love the lights. I love how it. I'm like, you just don't want to get hit by none of that, right? There is something that happens if you get hit by it, right? But we have to understand that storms are going to come and not panic because of it. Amen. I'm going to go to Luke 6, chapter 46 through 49. Preston, can you bring that up? Let's just bring up two verses at a time, 46 and 47, and then 48 and 49. And this is just talking about our foundation must be on the rock, right? Now, see, all of us are in life, we are building the Bible calls us a temple. We are building this temple. And if we don't build this temple correctly, when things happen in life, which they will, either you will fall or you will stand, right? This is true. Anything we go through, we have to understand that a test comes to see who you really are. Now, God allows tests in your life. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Even though you might like, oh, I don't want a test. Well, guess what? If you didn't have a test, you'd still be in kindergarten. Still be like A, B, C, D. 35 years old saying your ABCs, like that's all you do, right? I know some of you are a little older, but that's okay. I just said my age that I was last year, okay? So check it out. Tests produce something in your life. Whether we want them or not, they produce something. When somebody is not doing well, guess what? You don't have to stay there. Who has ever had troubles in school before? Raise your hand. All right, what subject did you have trouble in? Let me help you out real quick. History. Okay, history. History too? Now, history is not a hard class. But if you don't study, it's going to be a hard pass. Right? It's not hard, but if you don't acclimate yourself to the, you know, my son has open book tests, and I'm like, bro, if I had open notes and open book test, well, open note tests. So he has to make sure he takes the notes. So I was telling them, man, some of the most important information in a sentence usually is at the very beginning of a sentence or a paragraph and the very end of the paragraph, or the highlighted words that you see, the bold words, or if it just says a date or something, write that down, right? It's very easy. But if he doesn't apply himself, he gets to the test and be like, oh, man, I don't know. So we have to make sure we are prepared. So let's go. Press this. Luke chapter 6, I'm waiting on you, verse 46 through 47. Bishop, thank you. But it says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Come on, next verse. Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house. Somebody say building a house. Who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the streams beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. All right. It says, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Now, I'm going to say this. I don't know if anybody has ever built like a house, or I haven't built a house. I've helped do things in a house, but I haven't built a house. But I remember my dad had a shack. You guys know those little shacks that you could put in and you might store your little tools and things in the backyard or whatever. Now, I'm going to say this. It might just be from here to here. Right. But if you don't have a good foundation for that thing, it will still fall. It will collapse. And you're like, man, what the heck? Why is it? Because things that are built need foundations. When we are being built in God, we need foundations. Amen. We need his word to be the foundation. Now, that scripture, it clearly said that he who does what I told him to do, or does the word that I have spoken in his life, he will have a sure foundation. But he who does not do, he heard it but did not do. I don't know about you. Did you ever have, maybe you had a friend that their parents told them to do something and they just wouldn't do it? And you'd be like, hey, bro, I had a friend that was like that. And I'm like, hey, man, they said, make sure you go take out the trash. I'm trying to make sure you're good. I'm just reminding you what he said, because he's going to come back and he's going to be upset. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'll get to it. Now, me, if my dad told me that, I didn't have no second chances. Right? So I had to go, okay, let me take that out right now. Let me go get it. But this guy, he always would just be like, oh, yeah, I'll get to it. And I don't know about you, the worst thing is when you're at your friend's house and they're almost about to get a whooping. And you're just sitting in the room. You're just sitting in the room and you're like, oh, shucks, man, I told you, bro. I told you like five, your dad told you five times and I told you five times. Because you don't want your friends to get in trouble, especially while you're there. But that's what it's like when we hear the word of God and don't do it. And sometimes God will send somebody else to say, hey, this is what God's word says. I just wanted to remind, I got it. I'm building my house. I know how to do this thing, right? I can do this on my own. And if you do it on your own, your foundation won't be sure. Because how many know a house is not the foundation, right? A house stands on the foundation. You are not your foundation. You should stand on your foundation. And the word of God has to be our foundation. The problem with the church today is many people come up with a whole bunch of different ideologies, different theological viewpoints on what and how we should live, instead of allowing the word of God to be our anchor, to be our foundation, to be the thing that keeps us going. So what begins to happen is, oh, well, should we allow this kind of person? Maybe God's word was a little harsh. Should we entrust this to this person? He said he wants to be a pastor, but this guy, not you, I'm just saying in general, this person wants to be a pastor, but he doesn't live a lifestyle that matches with God's word. The Bible tells us to find people like this to be in leadership, Right? I was just reading that. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It tells us the qualifications for pastors, leaders, and bishops. But we'd be like, oh, but you know, I think this guy has, he has an interesting story. He has a great, there's nothing wrong with that person, but if they're not ready to do what God has called them to do according to what God's word says, we can't let it fly. Because that's why we see so many falling away. Because they weren't prepared. It's like there was an actor, they were a sports player or something, and they get saved, and all of a sudden, TV channels, I'm not even going to name no channels, just for their sakes, they want to put them in front of everybody, right? And this person has to, first of all, once you get saved, that's the great starting point, but you got to build your foundation, because guess what? They're going to go through a storm too. Right? They're going to go through a storm when their life changes, because the enemy doesn't like that. Right? But also God is going to test you to make sure you can go to the next level. Amen? Somebody say, be prepared for my storm. We are in a storm right now that we have never seen. My kids are like, hey, Dad, what are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do, but we're not going to panic. I know what we're not going to do. Right, they're like, oh, when school's closed. I was telling some people, I said, man, we lived through the swine flu. There was SARS, the coronavirus. This is not the first time that coronavirus has actually happened. Corona usually comes from animals and stuff like that. It said that it came from a guy that ate some kind of octopus and he got sick. The octopus was sick. I don't know. But what I'm trying to tell you is we have never had this amount of panic that they are pushing right now, right? And since they are pushing this panic, we have to make sure that we don't fall into panic, but we trust God. Amen? We trust in him. So when the storms in life come, our foundation has to be sure. And what's our foundation to be found upon? The word of God, the rock. He is our foundation, right? So when we hear the word and listen to the word of God, it will keep us grounded in times of storm. Amen? Amen? One of the things I want to tell you is now you should be reading your Bible even more. Like, if you have to stay home, get into your word a little bit more. Hear what God is saying, because God is speaking a word to his people in this moment right now. Right? In a time of drought, God used Elijah. Right? Every time that something happens where the world is, guess what? The world is looking for leadership right now. They're looking for some kind of leadership. Is it going to come from this guy? Is it going to come from that guy? No, God is raising up leaders, right? Even in the Bible, it says the world is waiting for the true children of God to pretty much manifest themselves in this world, right? And in a time of panic, if you're walking and you're like, oh, man, no, I'm sure because I know who God is, he's taking care of me. They can see that, right? They're looking for leaders. So when the storm comes, make sure your foundation is sure. Amen? Because my second point real quick is, how will we react? How do you react? When this kind of stuff happens, how do we react? Now, it's easy to react in fear because that's the message that's going on right now. It's easy to react with, oh, man, I don't know what to do, with uncertainty. But guess what? Like I told you guys in the beginning, God is still God. Nothing, somebody say this with me, nothing catches him by surprise. We have to remember that. When Jesus got hung, when Jesus died on the cross, God wasn't like, oh my goodness, Jesus, hey, angels, do you see? Jesus is on the Bible says that he is the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end, the first and the last. He has already seen this thing through, right? So we just have to trust in him. See, now it's hard to trust. I don't know about you. It's hard to trust a stranger, right? You just walk up to somebody, hey, man, I love to trust you. If I've never met this person. No, we don't do that, especially these days. It's like, man, better make sure you got your wallet in this pocket and, you know, walk, put your hand on it. You know, you just got to protect yourself, right? But see, if we keep God as a stranger, we will not trust him. If we're not seeking him, saying, God, I want to know you a little bit more. God, tell me about yourself. God, as I'm praying, reveal yourself to me. If we don't have that heart, we look at God as a stranger. And when his word says this, we're like, I can't trust that. I don't know him enough. So what I'm telling you is get to know him more. Amen. Matthew 6, verse 25 through 34. This is a scripture that I say a lot. At least verse 33, I say a lot, but we're going to go to this real quick. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. And this is Jesus talking again. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. And we got it up there for you. It says this. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Come on, somebody say, do not worry. About your life. Man, is that what we're worried about right now? Is that what we're worrying about right now? Your life is in danger. The Bible clearly says, and I even got through this whole thing, do not worry about your life. Then it goes on to say what you will eat or what you will drink. They sold water. Water's, I don't know why water's all sold out, but everybody's buying the water. And what else? What else are they buying? Oh, yeah, you guys know. Toilet paper. Toilet paper. Toilet paper and water. Because people are worried. I don't know. They started doing that early. I remember I went to Costco and, you know, I'm just doing my normal grocery shopping. Walking in like, dang, where's the water? And then there's like, oh, the water. Hey, water's over here in the back. I'm like, what's going on? But we do not worry. That's easier said than done sometimes, right? But we have to make sure our foundation is sure because we trust what God's word says. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Let's keep on going. It says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Now, when I read this too, I haven't seen the birds panicking. Right? You still wake up and hear the birds whistling, singing their songs. You know, one person told me every time the birds are whistling, they're praising God. Right? I haven't seen any birds panicking. We just saw some birds fighting, you know, the crows fighting eagles like they normally do on the way here. I haven't seen a bird panic. Why? Because they know God will take care of them. Do we know that we're more valuable than the birds? We got to know. Let's keep on going. Because it says a question, and that's a rhetorical question. He's saying, don't you know you are more valuable than the birds? Then it says, which one of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? Have anybody ever worried and something just happened? Like, I'm so worried about this. And your situation turned around because you worried? Not one time. Look, if somebody is worrying going to the bank account, don't ask to borrow no money from them. Right? When they worry and it's, oh man, I don't know if I got it. Right? We can't worry. So it says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider even, so here's another example that the Bible gives. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, let's say this about Solomon. Solomon was the richest man ever to live. So just imagine that. We look at Bill Gates and who's some of the super high expensive people right now? Warren Buffett, Elon Musk. Who's the guy that started Amazon? Jeff Bezos, right? All these people, we look at them and be like, oh, if I could just have what they have. I mean, they got the greatest. Solomon was even greater than that, right? He had so many things, but God said that even Solomon, with all that he had, wasn't greater than the lilies in the field. Why? Because God takes care of them. Somebody say this with me. God takes care of me. Come on, tell your neighbor, God will take care of you. Come on, say it like you mean it. God will take care of you. Sometimes you got to say it like an old Pentecost pastor, just so they get it in their spirit. Amen. But none of us are even better than the lilies of the field when God is taking care of them. That's what that's saying, because God has his hand upon them. Let's keep on going, babe. It says this right here, verse 30. Let's go to verse 30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Then it says, oh, you of little faith. Therefore, do not worry. Somebody say, do not worry. Come on, say it like you mean it. Do not worry. Saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles, or those at that moment who didn't know God, that's what they seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Do you guys believe that God knows that we need health? Do you believe that God knows that we need to make money? Because that's the other part about it. Like, how many of us, if you get laid off, you're like, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to, we got to pay the bills. We're trying to figure it out, right? Even athletes, I was watching some of the news about, I mean, to me, that's kind of the hardest part for me is there's no basketball games to watch. There's no football. Like, you know, that's pretty much all I watch on highlights and stuff. But even the athletes who have a lot of money are panicking because they're like, are we going to get paid when we're not playing? So even them, those who have a lot of money are worrying. But then I see other athletes saying, hey, I'm going to pay this money for everybody that worked at the stadium that I was at. You know, so some are panicking and some are calm. Right? But we have to know that God, our Heavenly Father, knows what we need. And the Bible says this, he will supply all your needs according to your riches and glory, or his riches and glory. All right, so one of the things I said in one of my songs is, I guess I can have recess in the middle of recession, right? What does that mean? I know that anybody know what recess, that's when you can go out and play. It's an exciting time, right? But because I know God in the midst of a recession, I can still thrive. 2008 or 2009, that was the last recession that we had. That's when I stepped out to do my business full time. And God has provided ever since. Amen. Now, people will be like, hey, that's Marquise, that wasn't a great time. But if God tells you to go, it's a great time. Right. And God will order your steps. Amen. But here we got to go. We got to get to this key verse. It says, but somebody say, but. Now, anytime that's in the Bible, that means we have to do something different. See, instead of seeking what we need to, as it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you as well. How many of us, instead of panicking or saying, God, I just want to seek you. I want to seek your kingdom. God, I want to seek to know you in a better way than I've known you ever before. Because I told you the storm's going to come. But see, in the middle of a storm, how many of us are looking for a way out? God is the way. The Bible says he is the way, the truth, and the light. And then it also says sometimes in other verses, he's the life. We have to know that he is all these things for us. Amen. But we must seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you as well. Let's go to the last couple of verses. I think there's two more in this chapter. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. Say that with me. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tamron was alive. All you guys was alive. Y2K. Did I talk about this a couple weeks ago? Y2K came and went. right? But in Y2K, it was, oh my gosh, the clocks won't be able to, the computers are going to stop. Everything is going to crash. And guess what? Some people, because they worried about tomorrow, killed themselves and their family. There were stories about people killing their kids and then killing themselves because they were uncertain of what was going to happen. But we cannot worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow, check this out, worries about itself. Did you guys know about that? Tomorrow worries about itself. It says, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. One thing I wake up and do, I tell my kids, we have to go conquer this day. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about all the, that doesn't mean you don't plan for your future, but that does mean that I'm not going to worry about what's going to happen because I'm not in control of that. God is in control of that, and I will just trust that he knows what's best. Amen? I would trust that he knows what is best. Somebody say, seek first the kingdom of God. Last point, and I only got one scripture on this, is uncertainty is a part of life. But what do we do when we face it? Uncertainty is going to come. When I had my first child, my wife was, and I'm pretty sure she's okay with me sharing this, she was hemorrhaging, and we didn't know what was going to happen. And I'm sitting there holding my baby excited that Markayla's here, but my eyes is tearing because I'm like, what's wrong with my wife? Like, I've never seen anything like that. Even on TV, it don't look like that, right? But there was blood all through the, that's enough. I guess it's enough, right? My wife's like, whoa. But now I was crying because I was uncertain, but then I began to pray and say, God, you're in control. I don't know how to stop that. That's not my area of expertise, but God, that is yours. You are the great physician, right? And they got it under control. Thank you, Lord. But uncertainty is a part of life. And then I read in my devotion today, it said in Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, the Lord is good. Even in the midst of your uncertainty, the Lord is good. And it says, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. We have to just continue to trust God. Our foundation must be sure. When we go through this with everybody else in the world, there should be a difference with how we go through it. Because I know this is only going to make me stronger. Just imagine when you look back and think about the people that went through the Great Depression in the 1920s. And they're like, they telling their kids, listen, I made it through. I was able to go through that. I didn't allow it to stop me. Right? Now, it doesn't mean it wasn't tough, but they trusted God, or they even, some of them people, they just trusted that they were going to make it through. You guys, somebody said Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett says when everybody's panicking, dropping stocks, that's when you buy. Right? You got to have a level head. You cannot just be like, oh, man, I don't know what to do. There's an old movie. I think it was, what's that Christmas movie everybody watches? It's an old one with James Stewart in it. It's A Wonderful Life. It wasn't he, he worked at a bank in that movie. That would, anyways, I think he, that's a different movie. But in this movie, he worked at a bank and it started crashing and he just started loaning money still, even though he's like, we don't have enough, we're going to give it to you. Right. And then he went through some storms in his life and, he was drinking and just trying to figure it out. And, it was a crazy story, but anyway, to make a long story short, they were in need of money. They lost some money. They were in need of money. And then all the people he came back to loan, he loaned money to, they came back and just helped him out because they saw how he was making a difference in the community. And he went through the town just excited, like, hey, people have helped us. And, but it showed that in the midst, when you're able to help somebody else in the times of trouble, some people are going to be able to help you too. So it's not just about you. Jesus was never about himself. Jesus didn't say, hey, let me go sit down and let me relax while things are happening. He always did something for the people. It said he was moved with compassion. So in the midst of this, let us help somebody else. In the midst of uncertainty, let us help somebody else be certain that we have faith. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for your word. I thank you to God that your word stands the test of time. God, that your word is faithful, that your word will remain strong. Dear God, I pray to God that your word would guide us as we are in this place in our lives. Dear God, that we seek you with our whole heart, that we would trust you, oh God. Trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge you. And your word says you will direct our path, oh God. So direct us today. God, I come against any fear. Dear God, we speak faith in its place. We speak faith in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. Let the Lord, everybody say, amen. Amen. And I hate to have us leave without praying for anybody. If anybody would, come on, precious, come on. If anybody needs prayer, we just want to pray with you. We believe in the power of prayer. When the Bible says where two or more are gathered and agree upon anything, God is able to make that happen. So if you need prayer, here. We got some anointing oil. And let's all just pray. Let's pray for everybody just for their health and everything like that. Can you just go anoint them and stuff like that? If that's okay with you, that's fine. But we just thank God that he is able. He is able, amen, to keep us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, we thank you, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray to God that your presence would calm the storms in our life, God. We pray to God that your spirit would keep us in our minds. Your word says if we keep our minds stayed on you, you will keep us in perfect peace. So, God, we trust and rest in your word today, God. I pray to God for health, dear God, in everybody's bodies, oh God. We pray to God that you would keep us from this pestilence. God, we trust that you are able to do that. Hallelujah, dear God. We thank you, dear Father.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.